Give the Lord a praise and be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this moment. We give you the praise and we give you the honor. In Jesus' precious name. Someone say a loud amen. Hallelujah. They were trying to show us the when you are there video, but I think we'll look at it at the end of the service. This morning, we want to look at a very, very important subject, and it is titled Forces of Destiny. Forces of Destiny. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 said, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." I intend to be as sharp as possible on the forces of destiny. Our objective this morning is to understand the forces or the interplay of forces, understanding the interplay or understanding the forces that come to play for destiny to happen. The forces that come to play for destiny to happen. Very, very important to know that for many working entities, many working or functional entities, many forces or systems come to play for the entities to work. For example, the airplane that flies in the air has an interplay of forces that makes the flight to happen. There is a force called the thrust that pushes the plane forward, and there is a force called the lift that takes it up. There is a force called the drag that tries to push it back. And there is another force of the gravity, the weight of it, that tries to bring it down. But these four forces must interplay together in order for flight to happen. Am I communicating? So there are forces that come to play for entities to work. When you see a car, and someone asks you what is the most important part of a car, somebody may say, the engine. They are showing us the forces of the flight there, the thrust, the drag, the lift, and the weight. Now, when you see a car, that's right, you may think that the engine is the most important until the kickstarter or even the little contact makes the engine, not the car, not to move. So you have the mechanical system, the engine system. You have the electrical system. That is the contacts and the alternators and all of that. You have the hydraulic system, the brake system. You have the electrical, the hydraulic, the mechanical system. You have the metallurgical system, the frame of it. That is the chassis, the body. All these together work together to make the vehicle move. In the same manner, everybody whose life must fulfill a God-ordained destiny, must have some forces put together to make that destiny happen. We are going to look at about seven of these forces that make, I'm talking about a God-ordained destiny. I'm not talking about human ambition. I'm not talking about doing what you want with your life. I'm talking about becoming what God wants you to become. There are these forces that come to play. Force number one is called spirituality. Spirituality. That is the force of devotion or dedication to God. Is spirituality. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33. It said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Is the force of spirituality. Is the force of spirituality. I want to say two things. First of all, that the spiritual sets the pace for the natural. The spiritual will always set the pace for the natural. That's the first thing to note. The spiritual gave birth to the natural. God made man in his image. God is spiritual, man is physical, to a great extent. God made the earth in the image of heaven, which is spiritual. The spiritual will always set the pace for the natural. Secondly, the buoyancy of your spirit. All right, let me say it this way. The vibrancy of your spirituality determines the buoyancy of your destiny. The vibrancy of your spirituality determines the buoyancy of your destiny. Show me a man, show me a woman with a vibrant spirituality. I will show you one with a buoyant destiny. Many people in recent times, with this extensive spiritual irrigation that we have had, they have seen a lot of drastic changes in their lives because the vibrancy of your spirituality determines the buoyancy of your destiny. If the devil wants to attack your destiny, he attacks your spirituality. If he wants to weaken your destiny, he weakens your prayer life. He weakens your study of the word. He weakens your relationship with God, because he knows that the vibrancy of your spirituality determines the buoyancy of your destiny. The fourth thing that we must understand is that the place you give to God determines the place you find in life. The place you give to God determines the place you find in life. If you are going to find your place in life, you must give God his place in your life. Say that again. If you are going to find your place in life, you must give God his place in your life. Lord, have I given you your place in my life? Are you occupying that place that you should occupy in my life? We are going to look at the example of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 1. We saw how Abraham put God first. And now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house to a land that will show thee. And then Abraham in verse 4 departed. Abraham departed. He gave God that first place in his life. Genesis 19:27, the Bible said, and Abraham stood in the place. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And Abraham was doing that and giving God the first place in his life. And he found his place in life. Beloved, if you are interested in your destiny, you must protect your spirituality. Say that again. If you are interested in your destiny, you must protect your spirituality. If you are interested in becoming everything God needs you to become, you must protect your spirituality. Number one force is the force of spirituality. Number two is mentality. Force of destiny, mentality. Now, when I say mentality here is a combination of two things. Mentality here is the combination of mindset for living and vision for the future. The mindset you have, what crosses your mind about life, and then the vision you have for the future. These two together form the mentality I'm referring to here. What is your mindset about life? How do you see life? And then what is your vision for the future? Both of these determine your outcome. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23 and in verse 7, it said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so you see, for as he thinketh in his heart, so you see. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Mentality. A combination of mindset for living and vision for the future. Now, look at two or three things about mentality. First, that mentality places a limit on destiny. The limit of your mentality is the limit of your destiny. The limit of your mentality is the limit of your destiny. The limit of your thought is the limit of your result. It is not possible to get results bigger than your thought. When you see men and you see women and you see them in terms of their result, it's a product of their thought. Mentality places a limit on destiny. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Secondly, it's close to the first. Mentality is a determinant of reality. Things are real twice. Mentality is a determinant of reality. Things are real twice. They are first of all real to the mind before they become real to in life. What is real to the mind determines what becomes real to life. Hallelujah. What is real to the mind determines what becomes real to life. I heard that there was a study made, a neurosurgical study in Korea under the watch of Yonggi Cho, where some neurosurgical people discovered that the center of the brain that is responsible for things that have happened is the same like the center of the brain that pictures what is yet to come. It's as if in the brain, if it can be vividly imagined, it is actually considered to have already happened. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And this is scriptural. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Somebody say aloud, amen. The third thing I say is, what can be imagined is the determinant of what can emerge. If it can be imagined, pardon me the use of the word, if it is imaginable, it is imaginable. It can emerge. There are stories I can tell. Plenty stories. One day, I saw a car. Beautiful car. I'm not materialistic in any way. But that does not mean that when you see good things, you can't appreciate it. That was in Area 1 in those days. It's like royal blue, chrome wheels. I mean, it just passed by. And I said, this car looks very good. It just went my way. A few days later, the same car was brought to me as a gift. I just liked it. Wow. They came as a gift. My children entered it. They liked it. It had, those days, screens inside the car, like four or five of them at once. Less than a week later, under 1 week, God asked me to send it as a seed. I can't forget what I did with it. I called up higher. I said, I have something that God gave me, but he said I should release it as a gift. You heard the story? Yeah. One of my children said, what about this guy? I said, God sent it. He said, really? God said we should release it. But when you walk with God, it's very sweet. Archbishop Idahosa came one day, and from what I heard, that God told him to give a certain percentage to him. And one of his family people, from what I heard, said, why don't you tell God to just kill us? Hallelujah. You see, but What? No. God will do you good, not evil. Praise the Lord. So your mindset. That is why you should not cause your mind to descend to levels beyond your desire. Don't let your mind drag you down. Let your mind lift you up. Don't let your mind drag your life down. Let your mind shift your life up. Because wherever you are right now, I can say so much about this. Maybe I should say this fourth thing and then we proceed to the next level. That God hears and responds to your thought. He hears and responds to thought. The same way like he hears and responds to prayer. What do I mean? It's stated in the scripture. Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So God is responding to your asking. He's also responding to your thinking. So you should beware how you think. Don't think demeaning thoughts about yourself. Don't think limited thoughts about your destiny. Spirituality is the first, number one. Number two is mentality. Number three, and of course, we saw how the mentality of Abraham affected his seed in Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 14 all the way to verse 15. God speaking to Abraham and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, north forward and southward and eastward and westward. He said, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. I see somebody taking charge of your destiny in the name of Jesus Christ. Where the children of Israel are today is a confirmation of what Abraham saw. He went through the land with his eyes and God gave it to him. The first number three, spirituality number one, mentality number two, number three is company. The people in your company affects your destiny. In Proverbs chapter 13 and in verse 20, said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. First Corinthians chapter 15 verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Please understand the following. Company impacts destiny. And I'm about to say something like something. Company impacts destiny. Your destiny is at the mercy of your company. It's at the mercy of your company. We heard the story of how a lion was reduced to the level of sheep because it was raised among sheep. I'm sure you heard that story before. A lion was reduced to the level of sheep. Baby lion raised by a shepherd because the mother died. And it was eating grass like sheep. Running from the bigger lion like all the other sheep. Until the day came where he saw his face in the water and realized it was a sheep. It was a lion. And then the other big lion came. It didn't run again. And he followed it to the wild. Your company is at the mercy. Your destiny is at the mercy of your company. Second thing I want you to understand is the quality of your company is a prophecy of the quality of your destiny. The quality of your company is a prophecy of the quality of your destiny. The people around you are prophesying. See everybody around you. It's a prophecy of where you are going. I don't need a prophet to tell me where I'm headed in life. For as long as I'm around God's servant Bishop David Oyedepo, I'm around God's servant Pastor Yemi Adeboye, and I'm around people in that kind of company. I don't need a prophet to tell me where I will end. Or how, or where I'm going. Somebody say loud amen. Who is it that speaks the most into your life? Who is it that constitutes the greatest inspiration to your life? You are face to face with your future when you look at those people. That is why you don't manage company. You choose your company. You can manage anything, but not the company of your life. No, you can be the friend of everybody. You can love everybody, but you must be selective about your company. Third thing I want you to understand is that company affects choices. And your choices affect your chances in life. The kind of friend you have, they determine the decisions you make. That's the truth. That's very true. You saw your friend with a hairstyle, you made it. You saw yourself with a dress style. You saw your friend with a dress style. You went and made it. I see a lot of people dressing the way we dress at times. Because they are in the company. You went and bought wrapper material and used it to sew long cloth. And put the button in the center. Have you seen that before? And they wore it with their wife. Why? They are seeing it all the time and they want to look like that. Even though it looked differently on us many times. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how you are doing that consciously or unconsciously is how you are making other choices, consciously or unconsciously. Other choices that may be destiny determining. Other choices that may be pivotal to major things, consciously or unconsciously. That is why anyone whose life you don't like, give them space. You may consciously or unconsciously pick up things that will affect you. Anyone whose life you are not happy about or comfortable with, give them space. Don't hate them. Just don't allow them influence you. There are many people today whose lives could have been 1,000 times better than where they are, except for who they call friends. And these friends have remained in their lives for years, limited them, dragged them down. The worst thing that can happen to you is when you marry such a friend and live with them for life. Fourth thing I want you to know is that your association affects your acceleration. When a child is walking in front of you, your speed is limited. Hello? Have you ever seen a baby walk in front of you? He's taking about 100 steps, but it's not constituting much motion. Huh? And he's trying to run in front of you. And you are standing and you want to move, but you are limited by his speed. That is how many of us are in life. Your friends limited your speed.
Even there are steps you wanted to make, they discouraged you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You have ever driven in a convoy before? You know that the pilot vehicle limits the speed of the rest. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That's how all of life is. You want to move fast. You can't fly with chickens. Chicken doesn't even know how to fly. It doesn't have the aerodynamism. The trunk is too big. His feather can't carry the weight of the center. You need flight? Look at eagles. You want to roar? Locate lions. Yes, yeah, speed can cheat. I can also be very, very speedful. Am I communicating at all? I am one of those who believe that it is better to walk alone than to walk with the wrong crowd. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Than to walk with the wrong crowd. It's better it is you and God than you and the wrong people. And we live in a generation today of approval addiction, opinion dependence. People are too human opinion. This one likes me. This one doesn't like me. This one said he won't be my friend again. And so what? You are not on the earth to make friends. You are on the earth to fulfill a destiny. If anyone said they won't be your friend or they will be, it's immaterial. Just face your life. When you reach where God wants you to reach, they will be the one looking for your friendship. They will be the one looking for you and want to be your friend. I announce to you today, every wrong company in the life of anyone here today, the grace to cut off, I declare it is over. One of the greatest graces to have is the grace to say no. And the grace to walk away from the wrong association. I was talking to a young girl the other day. She wasn't sure about the relationship. She's having some bad dreams and things about the relationship they've been on for almost 5 years. And I said, don't let that relationship tie down your life. The indications you are having appeared like it is not the right one. She said, but I don't know how to break it. I said, tell the man that you want to give each other 1 month to pray about it. After the 1 month, tell him that you'll increase it to 3 months. After 3 months of prayer, so you know what? Since we have not been able to arrive at it, let's increase it to 6 months. Let's give ourselves 6 months. By the time it's inside the 6 months, he will advise himself. You didn't break the relationship. You didn't break it. You only prayed away. Praise the Lord. But nobody can be more interested in your life. Nobody can be more interested in your destiny than yourself. And don't love anybody enough to allow them to damage your destiny. Company. And we saw the effects of company on the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 2, from verse 16 all the way to verse 18, where Daniel went to his friends when their lives were threatened. They hung together and they withered the storm together. You shall not be destroyed before your time. Number 4 force is the force of responsibility. I pray that, alright, I trust God to finish this today. Responsibility. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, therefore, say what things soever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Responsibility. Responsibility is the ability to respond appropriately. ability to respond appropriately. Ability to respond appropriately and accurately to the demands of life. Responsibility is living in proactivity. You are proactive, not reactive. Living in proactivity instead of reactivity. Responsibility is timely confrontation of tasks. The timely confrontation of tasks that need attention. Timely confrontation. An irresponsible person is easily a lazy person, easily. Responsibility. In responsibility, you are not giving and you are not taking excuse for why something is not done. In responsibility, you are not looking for who to blame. Am I communicating? We have it. Many people are unemployed today because they have not taken the responsibility. I'm not waiting for any government to employ me. I want to find, if I can't find a job, I'll create a job. Responsibility. Take note of the following about responsibility. Did you identify all these definitions about responsibility? Because once you understand it, ability to respond appropriately and accurately to the demands of life, living in proactivity instead of reactivity. It is the timely confrontation of tasks that need attention. Irresponsibility, you are not looking for who to blame, and you are not taking excuses. You don't give and you don't take any excuse. Somebody say amen. Give you an example of responsibility, David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 11. While his brothers were lazying at home, Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. For we will not sit down until he come here. Elderly Eliab, Abinadab, Shammah, were all hanging at home. David took responsibility for his father's sheep and flock. When you see responsible people, they go the extra mile. They do what others avoid. When you come to a place and you see responsible people, you'll be wondering why only one person is doing everybody's work. Why is he the only one doing everybody's work? Responsible people. I heard the story from a female bank manager some time back. A female bank CEO, that she was born twin. When they grew up, whenever it was time for work, her twin would shy away. And she would face the work. When it was time for this, she would shy away. She would face the work. They grew up. This one became a CEO of a bank. The other one, nobody knows where she is. It's a product of responsibility. All the big boys at home were hanging in the house. David was in the bush. Responsibility. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 24 to verse 26. Then David came to Mahanaim. And Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash. Sorry, I'm dealing with the wrong passage. Let's 1 Samuel First Samuel, did I say second? First Samuel 17:24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that was Goliath, they fled from him and were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches. And will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He took responsibility. Everybody was running, but he was confronting the task. Responsibility. Take note of the following about responsibility. Number one, the acceptance of responsibility is the experience of possibility. Show me a man, show me a woman who will accept responsibility. I will show you someone who will experience possibility. The acceptance of responsibility is the experience, is key to the experience of possibility. Nobody knew that Goliath could be pulled down until David accepted responsibility. Number two, the acceptance of responsibility is key to the world of authority. It's the world of authority. Responsible people are authoritative people. It's key to the world of authority. Hallelujah. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Responsibility. When you see people that become anything or arrive anywhere, most times it doesn't happen by chance. I can tell stories upon stories. Is it on the campus? Cultist people were trying to make noise. And some people couldn't remain on their bed anymore and just rushed out. Several times, you go to the area one church, Dunamis church in area one. The street that is tarred there, we engaged the army then. Paid whatever it took, tarred the road. Took transformer there. Two. One for the church, one another one for the community. Recently they had a challenge there about the light, went and solved it. Still solved it. Took water there. Everybody was there, but nobody cared to do it. And if you didn't get it done, it remained undone. Our neighbor, where we lived around Durumi area, every time we are coming, look at the wall of their house as if it was suffering kwashioko. Flaky paint. Flaky paint dermatosis. The wall was peeling. We got people to go and repair it for them. It wasn't our house. It was near our house. But his company with our house was a challenge. The people, the neighbors came to thank. If you didn't do it, it remained undone. Those who lead, take the lead. Anybody who is a leader is used to taking the lead. That is responsibility. You don't wait for people who will do it first. That is responsibility. I have more to say I thought I would be able to finish all the points this morning. But in order for us to have the time to pray, can we afford another 15 minutes? I think we can. Responsibility. Number 5 is quality. Let me just try and see. Can wrap this up. Quality. Proverbs 22:29. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me, men. Quality. There is a connection between quality and destiny. And I'm going to state it in the following. One, the quality of your impute determines the quality of your outcome in life. Everything you do with your life, what you give to it, what you put into it, the quality of your impute determines the quality of your outcome in life. If me and you are not giving the same thing, we can't get the same thing. The quality of your impute determines the quality of your outcome in life. One day I was traveling to Israel. I think it was Ethiopian airline first. Or I don't know the airline, but it was transiting Addis Ababa. I was going to preach in Israel. It was a big meeting, like a presidential pilgrimage then. I was walking for about 4 hours between Abuja, writing and reading and writing and researching and writing and reading. Huh? After night vigil, I jumped into the plane immediately after vigil to reach Israel on Saturday. One of the first times I was away from church on a Sunday morning. The man who sat by me said, I was to deliver a 30-minute delivery. I was researching and reading for over 4 hours. Inside, no, I didn't blink from Abuja to Addis Ababa. The man who sat by me said, he's a professor of so and so. Are you researching? Is he a PhD or what are you researching? He couldn't believe that somebody sat behind him, beside him, for a 30-minute delivery. You ransack like 500 scriptures or thereabout. By the time I finished talking, some of the Israelis say, it looks like I'm telling them about their country more than what they know. The second thing you must note is that the best of life answers to the best of man. If you are going to experience or see the best of life, you must give out your best as a person. The third thing I will say is that average impute can never produce excellent outcome. You have never seen a person who gave average and got excellence. It's not possible. Very, very important. Can never ask the military. They have October 1 parade and they are rehearsing it for the last 3 months for a 1-day performance, a few hours. Ask the pilot, ask the doctor, ask those people with those kind of jobs that require precision. Quality. Joseph was the best in Egypt. Genesis 41, 39 to 44. He was the best in Egypt. And he ended as the prime minister. He was the best in Egypt. I'd like you to know that with excellence, you can defeat prejudice. Do you understand what I'm talking about? With excellence, you can defeat prejudice. All the isms, racism, sexism. You are not a man. You are not this race. Favoritism. Regionalism is easily overcomable by excellence. One of the reasons why a country such as this one is where it is because of the lack of value for excellence. Where you have federal character and quota systems. Everybody, somebody must come from here, another person must come from here. So if this one has a first class brain, but because it's from here and the turn belongs to this one, and this one has a third class brain or a pass, this first class must be under this one. Even if the man that is first class underpasses the suggestion, he would dilute it with his rubbish mentality up. You go to a place like Singapore, it is addiction to quality, aversion to mediocrity. The best is who will take the position, the very, very best. Not a situation where the worst of them leads the best of them. Or it's on top of the best of them. The least and the worst in terms of mentality and everything is on top of the best of them. Not that kind of situation. Am I communicating? But in real life and in your work with God, quality will guarantee destiny. Number six is urgency. Doing things in a timely fashion. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and verse 16. Ephesians 5. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Be on the run. Be on the run. Be on the run. I read this many years ago, that one morning, a lion wakes up with a determination that he has to run faster than the fastest antelope. Otherwise, he would die of hunger that day. And an antelope in East African forest of Kenya wakes up that it must run faster than the fastest lion today. Otherwise, he ends as food in the belly of the lion. So the question is not whether you are a lion or an antelope. The issue is whether you are a lion or an antelope, once the day break, start running. Run. On your mark, get set, run. It is not possible to be slack and not lack. It's not possible. Please note this. First, that it takes a sense of urgency to make the most of your time and life on the earth. To make the most of your time. To make the most of your life on the earth. It takes a sense of urgency to make the most of your time. To make the most of your life in the earth. A sense of urgency. How do you do either crusade and worry and Uyo and Lagos and Calabar and Oka and Maiduguri and Pakistan and Togo and Ghana and the United Kingdom and Canada and Baltimore in Maryland. We thought that local crusades. And the year is not halfway yet. How? Sense of urgency. One pastor told me, he said, 3 crusades in 1 week. I said, we are not doing it to prove a point. If we are to follow the traditional way of doing things, and we are to go at the pace of normal pace, it will take millenniums to do the things that God wants us to do. Hallelujah. You make the most of your life and the most of your time on the earth with a sense of urgency. You don't drag your feet to fulfill destiny. It is on your mark, get set, run. My wife tells me all the time, she said, you accomplish so much with your life. So much with your life. Because she's around me, she sees what I do. If we are traveling and flying the plane, she sees what I'm doing. Right? Just now, I've come and I've finished recording some songs in the studio. And I'm doing the Seals of Destiny. I'm doing message preparation. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Hallelujah. Secondly, it takes a sense of urgency to fulfill your life assignment within your time allotment. The assigned task within the allotted time. It takes the sense of urgency to fulfill your life assignment within your time allotment. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Somebody say amen. We don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. Somebody say amen. How many people can join soldier at the age of 50? You are interested too late. How many people want to play football at the age of 60? You want to play professional football for Arsenal. They say, how old you are? You say, I'm 60. You say, do you want to be a coach or what? You say, no, to play player. Even coach, man. He said, even coach, they wouldn't take coach at that age. Your interest was too late. There are things you need to do when you have energy. And you get them done. That is why I was telling him that 60 is not old. One man told me, he said, he's old now. I said, how old are you? He said, 57. I said, no, you are not old. Add another 30 years to that age. You can still have up to minimum of 30 years of active life. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You start getting old at a young age. See, at this age, and you're only 40. Hallelujah. But that sense of urgency, just, I'd like you to wire your mind with urgency. There are things you want to do tomorrow that you must look at before you sleep. Yes. You just look at it. Just write, itemize them. This task, this is Sunday. Monday, this and this and this must be done. Let your spirit be processing it. Let it put your spirit on edge. Am I speaking at all? It was Jeremiah who said in Lamentation, he said, I sleep, but my heart awakened. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. I take authority over every spirit of laziness, every spirit of stagnation, every spirit of procrastination. Something you should have done a long time, you are still delaying. Every spirit of procrastination, every dragging of the feet to do things, I break the powers of procrastination in the name of Jesus. And the end of procrastination always is delay. Please, I want to advise you. That is also the place of company. There are many of us who could have done some things faster if not for some drag foot of certain people around our lives. Just drag you and drag you, slow you down and cancel you down. Until time passes and you are regretting. I've experienced what I'm telling you about once or twice, personally. Somebody say aloud, don't allow your life to move at anybody's pace. Let your life move at the pace of God. Let God assist you to make your life to move at the pace that He has scheduled for you. Say aloud, amen. Finally, this morning, the force, number one, okay, let's review very quickly. Number one, force was spirituality. Number two, mentality. Number three, company. Number four, responsibility. Number five, quality. Number six, wait a minute, urgency. And number seven, integrity. So we start with spirituality, we end with integrity. Integrity. Uprightness of life. Functioning with the clearness of conscience. Herein do I exercise my conscience to be void of offense towards man and God. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Shall prosper. Please note this as we round off. The quality of your destiny is determined by the integrity of your personality. Number one, the integrity of your personality. Destiny happens if both God and man can vouch for you. The quality of your destiny is determined by the integrity of your personality. Destiny happens if both God and man can vouch for you. The quality of your destiny is determined by the integrity of your personality. Look at gold. Gold, the quality of gold is higher when it has been refined. When it has been refined. When it has been refined. Impurities refined from it. What of crude oil? Its quality is higher when it has been refined in crude refineries. Has a higher quality. That's what happens to us in our country. Some of our people, a man and his wife in this church went to Singapore. They are there right now. And they said that one of their tour guys told them, in this country, that's in Singapore, in this country, we don't have petroleum or crude oil deposit, but we have the refineries that are working. He said they felt ashamed for themselves. He said, you bring us crude from your country, we refine it and sell it back to you. He said they were very ashamed when these people were talking to them. And the refined product is at a higher price. Higher because it has been cleaned. Impurities extracted. The quality of your destiny is determined by the integrity of your personality. And secondly, to be upright, I've always said, is to end right up. Anyone who is straight must be up. It's not hanky-panky. It's not the more you see, the less you understand. That was Joseph. Genesis 37. And in verse 7. Genesis 42. And in verse 18. His sheaf, his own sheaf was upright. Beloved, to be trusted is to be entrusted. If God can trust you, He can entrust you. Entrust you with your future. Entrust you with what He wants you to do with your life. He can trust you. Hallelujah. I welcome you to the forces of destiny. The second service, I will say the second half of on this same point that we have not mentioned, and second illustration. So, welcome to the use, application of the force of spirituality, the force of mentality, the force of company, the force of responsibility, quality. Okay, I think if you really followed, maybe you should mention it with me. The first, start from number one. What forces are necessary for our destiny? Number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five, quality. Number six, urgency. And number seven, integrity. That is to show you media that we know it, even if you didn't put it on the screen. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet with a shout of victory. Let me not assume that everybody was blessed. How many of us were blessed by this word? How many of you see something happening to you? Something erupting in your life? Please, I want you to take action points. Let's not just hear this message, but go home, take action points, and begin to act. Set your life, the ball rolling, and begin to hit the road running. And we shall hear your testimony. Share this message with your friends as well. And I believe it's a new day. Lift your hands and lift your voice and appreciate Him. Honor Him, adore Him. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Go ahead, appreciate the King of Kings within the next 5 minutes. Father, thank you. Adonai, thank you. Elion, thank you. Elion, thank you. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. In Jesus' precious name. I need one or two people on the microphone. I'm going to do 2 minutes of praying on this point. Lift your hands and say after me. Say, Father.
Father.
We are drawing strength from Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now say after me, say, Father,
Father,
I come before you
today
as I receive
the
grace
and the empowerment
to fulfill your purpose
for my life.
I receive the grace
and the empowerment
to become
everything
you want me to be.
I receive it
now
in the name of Jesus.
Go on ahead and pray. Rato se te pecha,
In the name of Jesus. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Father, help me with the grace to seek you first with this soul winning assignment of rescuing the lost, so I can become who you want me to be. Fresh passion. Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father, I receive the fresh passion to seek you first. I receive the fresh passion to seek you first and to become everything you want me to become and to do everything you want me to do in seeking the lost and rescuing the lost. All right, again, say, Father, I receive the grace to walk for you, to live for you, to seek the lost, and to become who you want me to become in this season, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, lift up your voice and pray. In the name of Jesus, lift up your two hands everywhere you are. I see the hand of the Lord coming upon somebody.
Amen.
That evil hand that says you should not fulfill your destiny is arrested.
Amen.
And the hand of the Lord is coming upon you. Lift up your hands.
am standing firm on your word. For your word is calling from you.
Power of your
word.
I am standing.
You are receiving His mercy. You are receiving His hand on your life. You are receiving His grace to fulfill destiny. Mahashadada. And as you receive also, the healing shall flow. The deliverance shall flow. The liberation shall flow. The liberty shall flow. Help from above shall flow. Father, let your hand touch your people, your grace, your mercy. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, I receive. For impartation, it says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. I pray and I ask for the breath of God upon what you are lifting up today. I ask for a 24-hour miracle. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I declare that the systems are put under pressure. They lose their peace and sleep and rest until what you are trusting God for is released. Everyone who came in here sick, I declare the sickness is over. Everyone who came in here in pains, the pains are over. Everywhere who came in here in torment, the torment is over. Every satanic affliction and possession is terminated. In the name of Jesus, you shall fulfill your days and fulfill your destiny. The angels that minister on this altar go along with you and grant you your testimonies. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Take your seat. You can place that in front of you on the ground. Let's encounter the power of this God. Anyone here this morning, you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus. You want to give Him your life today. Because unto your life, point number one, spirituality. Point number last, integrity. Unto your life is surrendered to God, your future is not guaranteed. Wherever you are, pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life and make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord, and no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.